We have actually heard so much and so precious things that we are overwhelmed by it. And we rejoice in the Lord that we do not depend on ourselves nor on what men say, but hold fast, as Paul says in one place, hold fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day. And we believe that we have something to hold on to. There are many scriptures that could be read. My eyes fell on Zechariah chapter 8. And here it is written of the covenant of peace and the covenant of life. But I want to read from verse 1. Zechariah chapter 8 from verse 1. By and large, it refers to Israel prophetically. But there are very precious words here. It says, again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. The first part is for Israel, the second for her enemies. And we know that God, whether you want to put it that way or not, but in a sense, in the Old Testament, he took a people out of all the nations. It was among that people that he revealed himself. He made known his covenant and his promises to that people, entered into their midst, set up his sanctuary among them, and blessed them, so that in the days of Solomon it had to be confessed that the whole world had heard about it and came to Israel, certainly not to see Solomon, but to experience God, to see and hear what God had done among Israel. Here is the thought, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and a mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. When he, the Lord, returns, then everything will be in order again. Then Jerusalem takes on the significance it originally had when the king of Salem went out and in, when the king of peace had men after his own heart, the city he chose to speak and make himself known there. He was the focal point of what Jerusalem was all about. When he had nothing more to say, the importance of Jerusalem was also gone. When we look at the church, it only has its significance when the Lord is in the church. Only then, when he can speak in the church, when he can work, when he can reveal himself, when we recognize his light, of which we have heard, whoever follows him will not remain in darkness. Who were the people to whom he said, if you do not believe, you will die in your sin? Basically, they were people who could have said, like the young man, I have kept all the commandments from my childhood. They were teachers of the law. They were without sin, according to outward appearances. They could not compare themselves with a robber or with any liar or cheater or adulterer or with any man. It did not occur to them at all. They would not and could not compare themselves to any human being. They were above everyone. But one thing went to my heart. God is not looking for people who put themselves above His Word. God is looking for people who place themselves under His Word, and then we are helped. The Pharisees put themselves above the Word of the Lord. But under the Word of the Lord, there is grace. That is where He speaks to us. Those who place themselves above Him will pass Him by without understanding what it is actually all about. You could feel sorry for these people. But now we are in our time, and the question is, who passes by the Lord? What is sin? It starts with unbelief. With unbelief. With inner rebellion against God and God's Word. And that entails everything. And also the Lord told them, because ye believe not that I am He, therefore ye shall die in your sin. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about believing in His Word. It's about recognizing the hour of our divine visitation now and getting under God's Word and not above it. At that moment, we are helped, and the grace of the Lord is assured. There are other precious words here. If it seems impossible to the remnant of this people in those days, must it also seem impossible to me, saith the Lord of hosts? The people had difficulty believing that God would again take abode in Jerusalem, that He would reveal Himself anew to Zion. They looked at what was before their eyes and thought to themselves, this is an impossible thing. And God interrupted them and said, if it seems impossible to you, must it seem impossible to me? Are not all things possible with God? If we look at ourselves, we might say, what's the point of such a small bunch of people? What's the point of them in this world of billions of people? But what seems impossible to us need not seem impossible to God. He takes a small remnant and reveals Himself through it and can present it to the whole world as a living testimony. If it seems impossible to you, saith the Lord, shall it seem impossible to me? Oh, the Lord speaks but one word, and all things are different. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You don't have to wait for it at all. His word can be fulfilled in a moment, if we can only believe and accept it. It goes on to say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and in righteousness. What God does to Israel earthly and outwardly, He does to the church. As worldwide, the Jews have returned to Jerusalem and to the land of promise, so worldwide the final call goes out for the bride church to be called out and prepared For there is no divine revelation in Jerusalem until it is done in and through the church. And this is what we need to understand. The Lord is leading His people even in this time and tells us, what seems impossible to you need not seem impossible to me. God is highly exalted and full of power. His word is an all-powerful word. He says, let there be light, and it is there. He says, let the waters gather into one place, and it happened. He says, let the sea swarm with living creatures, and it happened. And He says, let the air be filled with birds, and it happened. What He utters, that happens. And it must come to the point that God's word also accomplishes in our midst that for which God sent it. It makes no difference who speaks it. It is and remains God's word. And Paul says, ye have received the preaching not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which indeed it is. And when people receive a preaching as the word of God, they will receive what God's word has promised them. But if they think, the brother means me again now, and where is he going now, and where does he come from, then we can forget everything. But if we let ourselves be connected with God under the preaching and do not follow our own thoughts, but the thoughts of God, and get the connection with the living God, then He will reveal Himself to us as He promised in His word. It continues here with verse 11. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts.
So lautet der Ausspruch des Herrn der Heerscharen.
For the seed shall be prosperous. It seems that in the past the Lord did not turn to His people quite as He could have or should have. But now He Himself gives the promise. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days. No, when the time of God comes, when His promises are fulfilled, God can no longer be silent. Then He goes into action. Then something happens, and not by men, but by the Spirit of God, under the proclamation of His precious and holy word. For there will be a peaceful time of sowing. You know, in a time when you are waiting for God to do something, there is a lot of discord. One says this, another says that. One sees it this way, another sees it that way, and it's a back and forth. But when God begins, then the back and forth is over. Only we go back and forth. God does not go back and forth. God creates something new. And this thought was wonderful. Every time God does something, it is something new. God has never done anything old. He has always and at all times done something new. And I believe that also in these days, we can count on Him doing something new. And then a sowing of peace takes place. There's more. Here it says in verse 13, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Be of good courage." This is the word of the Lord. And the same promises in the prophetic word apply to the church just as they apply to Israel. Fear not. Take heart. For God turns His face to us and directs His salvation into the midst of His people like a mighty river, and glorifies Himself by the fulfillment of His word. I hope not that we have been preached dead all these years. I hope that we have been preached alive, because there are two possibilities. One is that people are preached dead and the word has nothing more to say to them. And the other is that they are brought over from death into life. And the question arises, are we preached dead or have we been preached alive? May God help us that a new life, the life that God works, might be revealed. Fear not, but be of good courage. Praise and thanks be to our God. Shall that which seems impossible to us seem impossible to the Lord? Let that be far from us. We have good courage. We can hope even when there is nothing to hope for, and believe where there is almost nothing to believe, because God has said so. And that is how it remains. And then we have good courage and are confident and do not fear. How many times did the Lord say in the Old and New Testament, when He revealed Himself to the people, the first thing He said was, "Fear not." It is in the nature of man to fear something. But why actually? We have only one thing to be in awe of, and that is the living God. And total love casts out all fear. And where there is fear of God, fear of man must give way. Where the Lord reveals Himself and calls out to us, "Fear not, be of good courage." Even those of little faith can become strong in faith and go forward and put their trust in the living God. In us, we can be put to shame. The sooner it happens, the better it may be. But in the living God, whose word is sure and certain, no one will be put to shame who has put his trust in Him and received His word in his heart. And I hope that in the past we have not only nourished our intellect with this and that knowledge of the word, but that our hearts have been reached, and that the word of the Lord has fallen into our hearts, and that it must bring forth fruit for the glory of God. Fear not. Be of good courage. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. If the Lord says so, then it must be possible. And when he says, what seems impossible to you need not be impossible to me. Oh, then that is a sublime word, a true word, and we can rely on it. We spoke today about the transformation of our life, of our heart, of our soul, of our whole being. And then we almost want to say, Lord, we have already tried for so many years. We have already wanted to discard this and that. And we have already wanted to make of ourselves people who walk in your ways. And it has stayed with all the trying. Today the Lord tells us, what seems impossible to you need not seem impossible to me. For behold, I am making all things new, and I am returning to Zion and glorifying my name in it. And that is why it says here in the Word of God, probably in the same prophet, that the name of the Lord is glorified from the rising of the sun to its setting. That's not just written once in the Bible. That's written several times. Now, it continues here, and that brings me right to the end. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. There was a time among Israel when God had decided to hide his face from them because they were going their own way and God could not go with them. But for the time when they return and walk again in the way of God, he has promised them blessings. And we see it here in his word. Just as he had decreed disaster in the past, so in these days he has decreed the reverse, Jerusalem and the house of Judah, that he would do them good. And behind it, it is written, fear ye not. What God has decreed, he carries out. He only allows disaster, but he himself gives salvation. He only allows curse, but he himself gives blessing. And when we have understood that just as he must turn to the people of Israel, so long as they set their faces to go the way of God and return home, then God is bound to his word. And so it is with the church of the living God. He has decided to do good to us. And he says, fear ye not. He wants to do us good and love us. Thus it is written here. And then it goes on to say, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Not only a righteous judgment, a judgment from above, accompanied by the peace of God, which is higher than all human understanding. Our understanding can beguile us, but the peace of God and the Spirit of God lead us into all truth. Just be honest. How often did we think things were right this way or that way, and later it turned out that they were not right after all. There is only one who can overlook all the details, and that is the Lord. And if we have a peaceful administration of justice in our gates, and here it is written, let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Do you see? When the people of Israel are in the will of God, and this divine visitation comes upon them, then everything is established as it was ordained by God from Moses. And then there is nothing lacking, not the administration of justice, not the word, not the blessing. Then everything is in the midst of his people. And the same is true of the New Testament church. When we have returned to the original foundation of faith and to the Word of God and to the doctrine of the apostles, then may the Holy Spirit speak justice in the church of the living God. Then it is no longer a man who usurps an office. Then it is the Lord, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, who will come again to take his own home. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. May we understand the sum of it all. The Lord Jesus said, he that follows me shall not abide in darkness. It is not written, he shall have to be rebuked and set up this and that with him. He who truly follows the Lord is helped. He will hear his instruction. He will know what he owes to his God. He will not abide in darkness, but will have the light of life. And when the Lord Jesus testified of what he had to say and to report, already the Pharisees were there again, saying, thou speakest of thyself. Oh, didn't he have a right to speak of himself? But this is what I want to tell you. Sometimes it seems as if Moses had spoken of himself, but Moses would have had nothing to say if God had not spoken to him first. Sometimes it looks like an Elijah was on Mount Carmel and had something to say. He would have had nothing to say if the living God had not spoken to him first. And we may speak of whom we will. Unless God has spoken, otherwise we all talk past him. But thanks be to him that he has spoken in a mighty way in these days. Hallelujah. And his speaking is clearly understood. I will do you good. Fear not. I will return to Zion, and there shall be joy again in Jerusalem. Oh, that we could grasp and comprehend it. God has thoughts of love and peace and salvation with us all. He wants us to recognize that what may be such a messy situation with us, And there is an earthly saying that even people who sit under the sound of God's word can use and say, the cart is sunk in the mud. I do not care whether the cart is sunk or not. For me, the word of God is valid. Shall that seem impossible to me, which is impossible to you? And the more hopeless our situation, the greater the glorification of God when He has helped us. If we could have helped ourselves, we had plenty of time to do so. But now we are dependent on the help of our God. And I say to you, He comes to our help. Praise be to His glorious name. Not only can He drive the cart out, He can lift us up out of the dust and make us sit beside nobles as His people, as the redeemed and delivered ones by the Lord. He has brought us back to reveal His salvation anew and to give us His help in these days. May we receive this word in faith. And I ask you, was this preaching a dead preaching or was it a preaching to make alive? If it was a preaching to make alive, then we owe God a living answer in our prayer, that we honor Him by faith and say, my God, even if everything seems impossible to us, we know that all things are possible with you. For with our God, no thing is impossible. And it's also written, all things are possible to him who believes. Do we believe today that God has helped us? I'm thankful for this weekend. I'm thankful for every precious and holy word of God. It is a strengthening, it is a power, a confidence. It lifts us up from the dust. And it has spoken to my heart and to all our hearts. May the answer from us to God not fail to come. Today, He wants to hear a response from us. Will it be in faith or in unbelief? May no one dare to give room to unbelief after a sermon of faith. For only he who believes will behold the glory of God and will experience the victory of the Almighty. If we do not believe, then we cannot stand our ground. But if we believe, then God is on our side. And when the enemies see Him, the Lord, then they must give way. The enemy is not afraid of you or me or of a church that we can decorate as much as we like with Bible verses on all sides. The enemy will have to have respect when the one who defeated him on Calvary is in our midst as the victor. Then he will have to have respect, and the victory of our God will be manifested. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Amen.